Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Tuesday following Labor Day weekend and your long holiday. Hope you enjoyed here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, all across that Sports Grid network as well. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens, and the man to my right, on the right side, with a large smile on this Tuesday morning, is Donnie Wrightside. Why? The Canes are back. It's all about the U, baby. We're going to break down a lot of college football here in this opening hour. And another team from the Sunshine State stunned once again. Not a good start to the season. In fact, very bad for Florida State. We have a ton of recaps and reactions throughout weekend number one, the first full weekend of the 2024 college football season. And it's not just game week in CFB. It's a game week in the National Football League. We are 48 hours out from the season debut in Kansas City between the Chiefs and the Ravens. So we get you set with everything you need to know around the National Football League for one final week. What DRS kind of the offseason, preseason training camp now into game week. Football is the focus here to begin the Early Line.
It's so good to rest it and ready. If anybody, I guess, yeah, you could say throughout the national landscape, but here in the Northeast, the weather was absolutely phenomenal. Oh. Woke up this morning, sent my daughter off to school. A lot of people going back to school today. It feels like it's football weather to the max. Hoodie weather, crispy 51 degrees here. But also, when we talk about the sprint coming off of Labor Day weekend, you wake up today, it's Tuesday. People, we got NFL action on Thursday night. So there's no time to waste. There's 3 hours today. There's 3 hours tomorrow. There's 3 hours Thursday, and away we go into the NFL season. The energy has never been higher than it is right now in the Early Line.
And with the Miami victory in the swamp, that energy is at an all-time peak. Not the same case, though, in Tallahassee. After the Dublin disaster in week zero to start the college football season, the final game of week number one, another travesty for Florida State. The 10th-ranked Seminoles upset by 15 points as a 16.5-point home favorite against Boston College. The Bill O'Brien era starts with a monumental victory on the road in Doak Campbell against FSU. DRS, Florida State is the first team in at least the last 10 years in college football to be ranked inside the top 10 as the preseason AP top 25 has come out, and lose both of its first two games, both against unranked opponents. Boston College, a statement. Florida State in a world of hurt right now.
Florida State fans, you're watching on TV right now. Look at me, because I am your captain now, and I told you about this. We're going to talk. We might spend the entire first hour in Florida State. There was one guy that told you your head coach lost complete control of the program in that Orange Bowl, where he told his team, you know what, let's go out and win it, and he couldn't sell it. He couldn't sell that game. Kirby Smart another time sold that game. Look at what they did against Clemson. Florida State is in an absolute tailspin. Why? Because nobody on that football team believes in that head coach, and they're 0-2 careening off the road before the season. They're already out of the college football playoff. We're September 3rd. Woo-hoo, boy, we got a lot to talk about in this game. I don't even want to spoil the rest of it, Ben.
Yeah, DRS. Well, look at the market movement, where Florida State still is, if the Noles have even a 1% chance to get to the college football playoffs. Slim to none, and Slim is opening that door at the moment, but still not officially dead just yet. Thomas Castellanos and Boston College running for a ton of yardage yesterday against FSU. We'll continue the breakdown in just a moment. Elsewhere around week number one, USC prevails on Sunday night in Sin City over LSU 27-20. The number one team in the country, Georgia, rolls over Clemson in Atlanta in a top 15 tilt. 34-3. Notre Dame, a victory on the road outright in College Station against A&M. And Donnie, your moment. Cam Ward throwing for more than 370 yards and three TDs in Gainesville in the swamp as Miami hammers Florida 41-17.
You ever see that meme, Ben? Like, look, I'm going to try to do it in my seat right now, right? It's a guy that's, you know, just sitting back, not worried about it, and he sees Cam Ward on his first play, and he just goes like this and sits up and has to watch. That was absolutely me on Saturday. From the very first time he ran the football so nonchalant and coasted out of bounds, yeah. I said, we got a winner right here in South Beach. Oh, I'm ready to go for this one. I'm telling you, this show is going to be fantastic. The energy never been higher because the Canes are back, and that's great for college football.
They win and cover as just a short 2.5-point road favorite in the swamp. It is game week, week number one in the NFL. Will Jamar Chase be out there for the Bengals on Sunday in the season opener in Cincinnati against the Patriots? We're not entirely sure. He misses practice once again. Zach Taylor, who has had to put his foot in his mouth before talking about the status of his star wideout, when asked if he would play on Sunday, just said, we'll take it day by day.
There's 32 teams in the NFL, Ben. There's 32 rankings of how rich these owners are. You know who's number 32? It's Mike Brown for a reason. He's penny-pinching out here and not investing in his franchise to make that franchise more money on a year-to-year basis, which includes getting Jamar Chase in that lineup. Boy, we got so many topics. I can't wait to talk about Jamar Chase later in the show because this guy needs to be in the lineup, and I love the way he's playing it out. He will get paid before game number one because if he doesn't, I'm telling you right now, Bengals fans, come over to my side. We'll have a march around the stadium. We won't show up in game number one until Mike Brown sells that franchise. I got your back, Cincinnati. I do.
I love the idea of DRS calling out of the first week of Pro Football Today on the Spins Grid Network to be live boots on the ground in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, of course, we stop the hot topics and get right into Major League Baseball recaps. The Yankees, after dropping two consecutive sets against the Nats and the Cardinals, open up their series in Arlington with an 8-4 victory. Gerrit Cole, really good. Six innings of work, striking out nine, only allowing a single earned run, but did leave early in Arlington with a calf cramp. Again, the Yankees still win 8-4.
That don't look like a calf cramp to me, BSS. I mean, we've all had cramps before, like, ooh, yo, you know, give me some, bring out some Gatorade, stretch me out, and I'll be good. That looked like a little bit of a calf injury, which is something to monitor. He was phenomenal last night, but if you're telling me that calf injury on him, push-off leg on that mound, that could be troublesome for the Yankees. Keep an eye on that situation and never believe when an athlete says, I just had a little cramping here. Don't ever believe that, people.
The Yanks, the top team in the American League, still a half-game lead over the Baltimore Orioles. The Dodgers extending their lead in the National League West, taking 3 of 4 this weekend in Arizona from the Diamondbacks. 11-6, the victory yesterday for L.A. 3 RBIs out of Mookie Betts, 5 ribbies and 2 home runs out of Freddie Freeman. And Shohei Ohtani, 2 for 4 in a leadoff spot, steals 3 bases. He's the 3rd ever player to hit 40 long balls and steal 45 bags in the same season.
That team is absolutely on fire right now. The superstars hitting on all cylinders. And this is the Dodgers team that we anticipated from week number one in the season. It looks like they have arrived.
A lot of upsets, DRS, in the final Grand Slam this year in tennis at the U.S. Open. Since we last spoke, Carlos Alcaraz was bounced, or maybe that was Friday morning. Novak Djokovic eliminated. Coco Gauff ousted over the weekend by Emma Navarro. But the number one seeds in each the men's and women's draw do advance to the quarters yesterday. Jannik Sinner and Iga Świątek moving on.
winding down. Champions will be crowned here in the near future. The U.S. Open. Hey, look, there's still some betting left to do it, and we'll hang in there with it.
Listen, we missed the Jaws. That's Joey Chestnut at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest on the corner of Surf and Stillwell. Did you tune in yesterday, DRS, to Netflix, where he ate 83 hot dogs, a world record, to get past his old nemesis, Kobayashi?
No, we eat hot dogs on one day out of the year, Ben. That's the 4th of July. Every other date does not count here, so enough for this.
I don't know if this is an official record. I'm sure they had people there to make it official. Doesn't count in my book either. A weekend of college football. A recap of week one up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Florida State flop once again to end out a 5-day consecutive stretch of college football in week number one to fully kick off the 2024 college football campaign. The very first game of week zero of the 2024 season, Florida State over in Ireland, beat outright by Georgia Tech as a 10.5-point favorite, losing 24-21. So the thought was, DRS, in a second consecutive ACC matchup against Boston College, but back stateside in Doak Campbell in Tallahassee, that FSU would show that resilience of a top-10 preseason team and at least win the game outright. We were wrong. As a 16.5-point home favorite, the Seminoles lose outright once again, but this time by 15, as Boston College goes on the road in the very first game of the Bill O'Brien era at BC. And the Eagles win outright as a 16.5-point dog, 28-13. Total of 51.5 stays under. We'll talk about Boston College and Bill O'Brien and Thomas Castellanos, I promise you, but Florida State is broken, and they now start 0-2.
There's a lot of things broken with Florida State, which included the broken clock inside the stadium yesterday where they're trying to get over some renovations that aren't even completely finished, a half-full Doak Campbell, which include, with, by the way, at the one end of the stadium, they put this in a couple years ago. There must be like, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 seats in the end zone that nobody ever sits in. I have no idea what's going on in that stadium, but also, let's get back to the point, no idea what's going on with this football team overall. Let me start here, because you're supposed to improve, Ben, more between game one and game number two than any point in your season. You already have your dress rehearsal. You're out there. Win or lose, you know you can make those mistakes on that Saturday. They get corrected in practice, and you should be better off as a team for it. What the heck was Florida State practicing for at this point here? And also keep in mind, this was BC's first game on the road where they knew they were going to get an angry Florida State team that was going to be playing as hard as they possibly could after a loss over there in Ireland. And they absolutely drew dead right off the bat. Just keep it here. If you don't understand, like DJ Uiagalelei was a very good prospect coming out of high school, and his first game against Notre Dame was like, this guy's the number one overall pick in the draft. He should sit, like, after that one game, Ben, he shouldn't play another down in football. Just sit out and be the number one overall pick. And it's been all for downhill from there. But you know what, Ben, I thought would rescue them? BC's not as talented as Florida State. Get the ground game going and dominate. 16 carries for 21 total yards for that Florida State backfield that I heard so much about. Oh, Tua Feely was amazing last year. And wait till you see Roy Dell Williams come over. They have been abysmal across the board. I'm like, there's so many things wrong with Florida State, but the one thing you should be checked into is they should be able to ground and pound with those backs. They can't even do that, Ben.
Donnie, second consecutive week, both against the Yellow Jackets in Dublin and last night against BC, on either side of the football, Florida State was dominated at the line of scrimmage. Not even close. Not even like, oh, that's really kind of where Boston College hung tough. Florida State could not sniff what BC was doing offensively and did nothing on the ground. Sure, maybe some of it was game script dependent, as BC had two drives in the opening 15 minutes and Florida State was on the field for less than a minute after an opening three and out. Sure, but the Eagles were dominant. And I would argue, Donnie, in both games for FSU to begin this year, it's not like it was some fluke upset where a ball bounced this way and a team that was a double-digit dog ended up winning outright by a field goal. Sure, that's what the Yellow Jackets did in Dublin, but they were the better team. And it wasn't even remotely close last night that the Eagles had the better of the Noles. Boston College, Boston College ran for 263 yards against Florida State last night. Three guys, including the quarterback, Thomas Castellanos, ran for more than 70 yards on the ground. He found pay dirt, a play I gave out on College Football Today. And FSU, I thought, would dominate on the ground against a BC team that was the second worst rushing defense in the ACC last year, allowing 193 yards per game on the ground. You know who was the worst ACC rush defense? Georgia Tech. Florida State, 98 yards, 3.2 yards per carry against the Bees. Against the Eagles, 16 carries, 21 yards as a team, 1.3 yards per carry. And frankly, Donnie, it wasn't like DJ Uiagalelei was lighting things up. 21 of 42, 272 yards, a touchdown, and an INT. There was zero consistency. There was zero offensive playmaking for Florida State. They start off the year 0-2. The only AP top 10 team in at least the last 10 years of college football to drop both of their first two games of the season, both to unranked foes.
And also, you're usually looking at like, okay, when does their cupcakes kick in so they can pick up a couple easy victories to try to ease into the schedule? They got Memphis next week, who's a quality football program. You don't get Charleston Southern to the end of the season and maybe another layup with Florida, but you're almost at a crossroads here for Mike Norvell. Guy's making $10 million a year, and this is how unprepared his football team was in weeks number one and two. Now, I understand you pay, and this is so funny about college, you pay DJ Uiagalelei a lot of money to come over and be your starting quarterback, and after two games, he can't play. So here's the question mark. Do you just say to this season, it's in flames, I got to find my quarterback of the future, or do you just force feed DJU right back out there and say, eventually he's going to get it together? Ben, sometimes you know right away. We're going to get to the Miami Hurricanes. After two plays, I said, wow, this is a massive upgrade from Emery Williams last year, the starting quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes, to now flip it over to Cam Ward. We saw DJU in game number one go, it looks like Florida State doesn't actually even want him to pass. And game number two, we're assured of why you don't want him to pass. Way too many misses. Ben, early in that game, that corner out in the end zone, throw that ball, pitch and catch, touchdown, change the complete complexion of that football game. He airmails it almost into the seats. Embarrassment at the quarterback position. They got to make a change.
They certainly do. Listen, throw the money down the drain. It does not matter. Brock Glenn's got to be the guy. You have to do something offensively. It is not working under DJU. The three best quarterback recruits of the 2020 class will be studied and examined for many years to come. Bryce Young was number one, a Heisman winner, number one overall pick. DJ Uiagalelei was number two, and CJ Stroud was number three after an Offensive Rookie of the Year award-winning campaign for the Houston Texans. 42-1. Now the number on Florida State to win the ACC crown. They were the preseason favorites. Is their season over? Not technically because of the expansion of 12 schools in the college football playoff, but there is zero margin of error. What complicates things for FSU, not just two disastrous L's to start the year, but two disastrous L's in conference play to begin 2024. Sunday night in Las Vegas next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The entirety of week number one in college football, recaps and reactions live right here following the five-day run that was CFB in our lives each and every night. One game last night, Florida State falters once again. BC wins outright by two scores as a 16.5-point dog on the road in Tallahassee. A marquee matchup on Sunday night in Sin City. A top 25 tilt, 13th-ranked LSU, number 23 USC. Year number three for both head coaches is Brian Kelly. Not too pleased in Baton Rouge, and Lincoln Riley in Los Angeles. Two new quarterbacks taking the mantle for the two reigning Heisman winners in the sport. Miller Moss for USC, Garrett Nussmeier for LSU. And it was Moss and the Trojans with a triumph in Las Vegas. 27-20 USC victorious, winning outright as a 4.5-point underdog for what, two of the three best scoring offenses in college football last year, DRS. This total stayed well under a number of 65.5. It was a competitive football game back and forth, especially in the fourth quarter. Southern Cal scoring two touchdown drives in their final two drives in the final 7 minutes of the game. Woody Marks, the game winner, 13-yard TD run with just a minute and 47 seconds left as Miller Moss led another two-minute drive that led USC to a victory.
Awesome game, awesome atmosphere out in Las Vegas to open up the season. Couldn't have asked for better. And also, if you're Brian Kelly at this point, you're probably screaming at your administration and your athletic director saying, like, will you stop putting me in bad situations in week number one where I just can't win? Which then brings you back to Brian Kelly. How much money are you making? And also, is there any coach in America that, forget about the human being himself, if you didn't know Brian Kelly and just watched the sideline antics, it's almost as if you root against him. Every bad pass, every incompletion, every penalty, it seems like he has a problem and needs six referees to explain to him exactly what's going on. But you know what? At the end of the game, when I see him pounding his fist at the press conference, I've never been more disappointing in my team. That's your fault, Brian Kelly. That's not your team's fault, because you know what? Typically, you'd say to yourself, like, hey, we've played a top 10 team or a top 20 team for the last 18 years I was at the school, and we're 17-1 against them, and we just lost tonight. I blame my team. But you know, he's probably right, because his teams are usually prepared, ready to play. It must be their decision.
Yeah.
But the last 3 years where you're losing on opening night, that's a you problem, Brian Kelly. And it wasn't your offense's fault. They went up and down the field all night long. Your defense just couldn't make stops when they needed to in the second half. I thought the better team was LSU going into that game after drive number one. Like, LSU might hang 55 points on this USA defense that we've always known to be a sieve. They really tightened it up. I was so impressed with USC in that football game. Coming back and winning it showed me a lot in that game. Good for USC.
The second career start for both quarterbacks in this matchup. Garrett Nussmeier, who bode his time in Baton Rouge behind Jaden Daniels, gets his second career start. Both of these QBs, DRS, Nussmeier and Moss, sensational in bowl games for their clubs. In the ReliaQuest Bowl for LSU against Wisconsin, Nussmeier threw for nearly 400 yards and a bunch of touchdowns. Miller Moss set a Holiday Bowl record in San Diego against Louisville with six touchdowns tosses against the Cards. He continued that sensational play on Sunday. Clutch in the biggest moments. 27 of 36 for 378 yards, a touchdown, and zero interceptions. And his guy, Kyren Hudson, the leading receiver for Southern Cal, five grabs, 83 yards, two ridiculous one-handed catches in each half. USC, who needed to replace a ton of talent on the outside, Zachariah Branch goes over his receiving yards prop, and Kyren Hudson seems to be a legitimate number one for the Trojans.
By the way, like, the catches were phenomenal. And shout out, because I thought that ball got dropped on the first catch, but I do appreciate the referees. Like, you know what? That catch was so good. Maybe we won't look at all the angles here, and we'll get back from commercial break and give it to the kid. As a wideout, I respect that. But his second catch, Ben, I don't think people understand how hard this is. Laying out for football means reaching one hand out and deflecting it back to yourself, knowing your head is about to be taken off, and it was, in a helmet-to-helmet contact, and still coming down with that catch. That was absolutely incredible. That's every wide receiver's nightmare play, and he made that in the biggest moment. I was flat-out floored. Two sensational catches, and I love the second one, Ben, even more than the first one.
Yeah. DRS, both defenses looked a lot better under new defensive coordinators, Blake Baker for LSU, and under USC, it is Danton Lynn. The Trojans allowed 117 yards on the ground, 4.5 yards per carry, not necessarily stout or stifling LSU, but last year, the worst rushing defense in the Pac-12, who gave up more than 184 yards per game, year-over-year improvement. Week number one recaps continue next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We had three ranked versus ranked matchups in the opening full weekend of college football. Two on Saturday. And, of course, as we just shared, USC triumphant on Sunday night over LSU. Brian Kelly not happy. If I slammed this desk, the microphone might move down. But that's what BK had to say after Sunday night. Let's go to the first ranked matchup that we had in the 2024 CFB season in Atlanta. Noon Eastern time on Saturday, a top 15 tilt. 14th ranked Clemson and number one Georgia. A slow start for the Dogs, but they pour it on late. And Clemson's offense never really got going once again. 34-3, Georgia gets a win. No Trevor Etienne for UGA. No Roderick Robinson either at the running back position. No issue for Georgia. They cover as a double-digit favorite in Atlanta. A total of 48.5 stays under because Clemson's offense continues to sputter, and it has not changed really over the past three-plus seasons. The dominant Dogs start the year as number one at 1-0.
Look, Georgia's going to make a lot of football teams look bad. You saw what they did last year, not technically even caring about the Orange Bowl, and wiped the ACC opponent, Florida State, off the field. They did the same thing with Clemson. And coming into this game, sometimes you just don't know about football teams when they enter into the season, right? Because we don't get those updates like we do in the NFL. We don't know exactly what the depth charts are and everything, how it's going to work out. But I saw like the 13.5, and I said, you know what? That's a 2-touchdown victory opening day for Georgia. And I got exactly what I thought would happen because the question marks weren't, is Clemson's defense going to be able to hold up? Typically, Clemson has a very good defense with a lot of NFL talent. That's their calling card. But over the years, like Deshaun Watson was a sensational quarterback. So was Trevor Lawrence. But something got lost in the sauce once Trevor Lawrence left. It was like, okay, we're going to hand the football over, whether it's DJU or even Cade Klubnik. But you're looking also, it wasn't Ben. It's like, you know what? This was a fifth-string walk-in guy we were forced to play. These are highly recruited quarterbacks to come in there and do damage. But in the offseason, did anybody actually expect Clemson to come in this game and light up the Georgia Bulldogs? I certainly didn't think that. But also, I didn't think they would score 3 points. That was an embarrassing effort. And I'm not going to say, oh, look, Dabo Sweeney has lost it. I understand. He's been one of the better college football coaches by a wide margin over the past 20 years. National championships, consistency in the ACC, double-digit seasons, making the college football playoff. They've been there, done that, and I get it. But you do have to change with the times. We see, like, let's just say college basketball, Ben, right? Coach Krzyzewski hangs it up. Jim Boeheim hangs it up. Jay Wright hangs it up. They see the changing of the landscape, and they're saying to themselves, I just can't adapt to this. It's a young man's game. I'm going to get out. And I'm not even calling Dabo Sweeney old at this point. But you have to adapt and change. Yeah. You're at a school and an institution that should be able to reach out in the portal and grab whoever you want. Because why? Clemson plays in big football games. Clemson has an unbelievable home atmosphere here. They're also an SEC team. It feels like operating in the ACC. The fact that he hasn't reached out and made those changes, say, you know what? My team isn't good enough. Let me get another two wide receivers and a tight end to really light this offense up. The fact he hasn't done that, Ben, is really reflecting poorly. And these are the type of games you're getting now where everybody's saying, Dabo, you don't have to be such a hard ass over there. Just hit the portal and get some players. It's only going to help you. None of this. We're Clemson. We do it the old school way. I hate the NIL. Yeah. I'm not going to bring in new players. This is what you get. Adapt and change or die.
There is no doubt that Dabo Sweeney in the last decade has been one of the most successful college football head coaches there is. He is one of two active coaches now that Nick Saban has retired with multiple national championships. He has two, and the guy he lined up against on Saturday afternoon in Atlanta, Kirby Smart, also has two. But Sweeney's last was in 2018. What happened the year following? The transfer portal and one-time transfers without a penalty became legalized in college football. What happened in 2021 and that summer, as Clemson has not been back to the CFP since the 2020 CFP campaign, that was the start of NIL. Dabo Sweeney has failed to adapt to the times. Clemson is the only other FBS program, along with the three service academies in Air Force, Army, and Navy, to not take in a single transfer this offseason. And it shows. Cade Klubnik is not nearly as good as we thought. Year number two is the full-time starter under the same offensive coordinator in Garrett Riley, Lincoln's younger brother, who was highly esteemed out of TCU, leading the Horned Frogs to a national championship game appearance 2 seasons ago. Offense looks the exact same it has. Only 142 passing yards for Clemson against Georgia on Saturday. Clemson less than 50 yards on the ground as well. And Donnie, you said what I think a lot of people will say. Georgia's going to do this to a lot of good football teams, even teams that are highly ranked. Clemson was the team that used to do this to other football teams, and Clemson should not want to be categorized as a team that falls into the crop of, well, Georgia's going to do this to a lot of even good football teams. Not the case for the Tigers. We'll talk about how wide open the ACC might be for Miami to win a conference crown for the first time in over two decades in just a moment. But first, our third ranked versus ranked matchup Saturday night in College Station. 110,000 rocking at Kyle Field. And Notre Dame quiets the crowd. 23-13, the Irish win on the road outright as a 2.5-point underdog to spoil the debut of the Mike Elko era for A&M. Bad offense. Connor Wigman throws for only 100 yards, and Notre Dame takes it to Texas A&M on the ground as Riley Leonard puts up more than 70 yards on the ground, and the Irish win outright as a 2.5-point favorite, or underdog, excuse me, as winning by double digits.
Yeah, by the way, you take an exam. That's one of those games you get a laugh at. Like, oh, what a massive upset. Yeah, come on, stop now. You know, Notre Dame was the higher ranked team just because they were getting points at this point. But also, isn't that what Riley Leonard gives you? Just a game right here. I'm not going to turn the football over. I'm going to make some plays with my feet here. If you need me to step up and make a big play, I can do that. Loved what I saw out of the Irish. You might say, well, come on now. 6 points at the break, and maybe A&M's a little bit overrated. You understand stepping into that football stadium, that atmosphere, there's more people in that stadium than most, like, cities across the United States. To weather the storm in the first half, play great defense, and pull that game out, it was great to see that for Notre Dame. Now, I don't know how high the expectations are going to be for Notre Dame. Will they win a championship? But you had to go in there game number one going against a ranked opponent. That's a great sign for making the college football playoff. Riley Leonard is going to get better. He did what he needed to do, but the disappointment, you're right, was Texas A&M on offense. Like, Wegman, 12 of 30 for 100 yards and two interceptions. You put your team right behind the eight ball immediately if you're going to do that. We know how much of a good athlete he is, just underperforming. But as I said, for Notre Dame, that's a great win on the road in an unbelievable environment, and they passed the test.
63 rushing yards only for Riley Leonard, but still very good. Nearly two bills for Notre Dame on the ground. Jeremiah Love took over as the game ward on. Jadarian Price also finding his way into the end zone. Notre Dame got baptized by fire with a young offensive line and a freshman in Anthony Knapp that made his debut against A&M on Saturday. And they held strong. It wasn't pretty offensively for Notre Dame, but the defense looks great once again. A huge win for the Irish in terms of their college football playoff lives. Two more ranked foes on the docket as of right now. Florida State at home in November. Who knows what the Noles are going to be doing? They end the year in the Coliseum against USC. I don't even need to say much. Donnie Wrightside, the final minute of your segment, of this segment, is yours. Miami wins big, covering as a 2.5-point road favorite in the Swamp, 41-17.
There was a time in my life, Ben, for so many years where it was Miami Hurricanes football on a Saturday and Philadelphia Eagles football on a Sunday. That turned into Miami Hurricanes football one or two times a year and still watching Eagles football. But now it looks like they are back in a big way. And you don't want to overstate what that meant. But again, you're walking into a hostile atmosphere. One of the best home field advantages in football, we just talked about Kyle Field, also was in the Swamp. And also a Miami Hurricanes team with a lot of expectations coming into the season as Mario is finally going to put it together. And boy, did they. This wasn't a luck win. This wasn't a wide left 23-20. They picked up that victory. That was a shellacking from opening to closing. And if you saw the videos, which made me laugh, where you had all those recruits in the stands for the Florida Gators and the Miami Hurricanes walking by them saying, don't go to this trash program here. Come to Miami. It's basically a wrap. Billy Napier started the season with a 4.5 win total. I told you that under was going to take place. Do they even get the two wins, Ben?
Let's not cash tickets after week one. MLB2 recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's game week in the National Football League, and we start with some breaking news bright and early on this Tuesday morning following Labor Day weekend. Last week, the 49ers pay Brandon Ayuk. He's happy. He is paid. It does appear at this moment that Trent Williams is getting his money as well. The best tackle in football will be compensated as so. Finalizing a rework deal with 11-time Pro Bowler Trent Williams. What exactly the contract figures look like, that remains to be seen. But reported by ESPN's Adam Schefter in the last 15 minutes, Trent Williams and the Niners are finalizing a contract that will have Williams back for practice and maybe even starting on the left side Monday night to end out week one against the New York Jets at home.
Great football players can do this, and great organizations that care about their fans and their players do the same things. Hey, look, we don't know if we want to pay you this amount of money, but when the season starts to approach, we knew, Ben, there was no way. Like, if Brandon Ayuk got traded, right, that would have been a mishap there for the 49ers. But you could have said, okay, can't afford him, big paycheck next year. We got a first-round pick back and a second-round pick, and we'll move forward with that, which I wouldn't have liked, but I can understand that. There was no way that Trent Williams was going to sit out 3, 4, 5 games or this season and not be a part of a Super Bowl run. Maybe the best left tackle in football. You want him paid. You want him happy to protect the backside of your quarterback. Was anybody out there, the minute Trent Williams said, Ben, I'm not showing up to training camp here, I want a new contract, did anybody go, like, that's it, he's never going to play again, and they're not going to sign him? We knew this was going to take place, and they got it done enough time for him to get back into the fold. Here's the only interesting thing. In any walk of life, if you're not around your teammates and your players, because this wasn't a hold-in from Trent Williams, he wasn't there. Yes, he was probably working out on his own, but at the same time, you're basically going to get thrust in right away to game week with an unbelievable Jets defense. Do we think he's going to be up to the task? Probably so, but something to keep an eye out on. But this whole story, we knew this was going to get done because sane ownerships, general managers, and players understand when your team is looking to go on a Super Bowl run, get everybody in camp, get everybody happy. Let's start the season with no more of this. I wonder if a guy shows up. They're done. They're ready for the season for the 49ers now.
Numbers perspective, just so you know, 3 offensive linemen got paid in a big way this offseason, younger than Trent Williams, but all 3 becoming the 3 highest paid O-linemen in NFL history. Tristan Wirfs, a big deal at $28.125 million per year. Penei Sewell, $28 million per year with the Lions. And Christian Darrisaw, $26 million annually with the Vikings. Wirfs, of course, with the Buccaneers. What exactly does Trent Williams get? He was making a little bit more than $23 million a year. I would expect 25, 26, 27, something in that ballpark. But good news for San Francisco. The NFC championship favorites entering the season, just a 3.5-point favorite now to end out week number one on a Monday night in Santa Clara against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. Plenty more around the NFL coming later in our second hour. Now, Donnie's favorite segment, some MLB recaps from the weekend. Only an 11-game slate on Labor Day Monday, but very impactful games at that. The Royals playing host to the Guardians as a slight home money line favorite. KC entered yesterday, losing 5 games in a row. That started from last week's midweek set against the Guardians, where they won 3 of 4 to start. Could not sweep the Guardians and lost all 4 games over the extended weekend set against the Astros. And they lose last night. Cleveland victorious on the road in Kauffman 4-2. A Josh Naylor home run, a Lane Thomas 2-run shot as well. That the difference for the Guardians as they triumph over KC.
Yeah, Williams was great on the mound yesterday, Ben. You take a look at that 7 innings pitch, only 1 hit allowed, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, and getting you into the 8th inning when you have one of the better late bullpens in baseball, that's how you win games here. But also, you know, Clase, by the way, got his 41st save of the season, another clean 9th inning. As I told you before, when you have a 1 or 2 run lead and you're the Guardians, like, and you're trying to bet against them, it's like, oh, I got a money line to start the game, whatever team they're playing, just shut the TV off. The game's over at that point. But also, here's some of the problems we're worrying about. The Royals just trying to scuffle around, picking up Tommy Pham. He goes 0-for-4 in the leadoff spot. Bobby Witt Jr., who's phenomenal, 0-for-3. Massey, 0-for-4. Perez, 0-for-4. Melendez, 0-for-4. DeJong, 0-for-3. You get the point here. These are the times that you enter into September where it's playoff time. It's time to make your money. And I know it's unfair, but But when you look at that Royals franchise, the history says, oh, they're not really used to being in this position all that much. I wonder if they're going to cave. Not a great start. Plenty of time to turn it around. But this is what some of the people might say. I told you so. They're not a great team. And Ben, by the way, what was the team total you needed here for the Kansas City Royals? Was it 75? Was that the number?
73.5. So they're over.
I was going to say, so you got the over already. They could lose out the rest of the way and you still cash a ticket. But I like this Royals team. They're fun to watch. I just hope they don't slide out of a playoff spot here in September.
And I don't think they will, but the competition certainly was on the rise this week when they won the doubleheader to start off their four-game set against Cleveland last week on the road. They got me to the over of 73.5, but including that series victory over the Guardians, taking the first three of four, the Royals now on a six-game skid, had won 10 of 13 previously. Cleveland bounces back. They won the weekend against the Buccos. They've won four of their last five, and the Guardians have opened up a 3.5 game lead in the American League Central, 4.5 in front of KC, who has a 4.5 game lead for the third and final American League wild card spot. The Guardians still up by 3.5 games over the Twins. The Twins get a victory yesterday. Brooks Lee, a home run for Minnesota, and the Twins taking advantage 5-4 in the Trop. They were a very, very slight road favorite in Tampa. The Twins also winning the weekend against the Blue Jays, snapping a four-game skid as they won that weekend set against the Jays. So the Twins playing good baseball, but still 3.5 back of the Guardians for the top spot in the AL Central.
Look, we're not thinking the Tampa Bay Rays can get into the playoffs, but still, it's a tough place to play because you don't get a lot of fanfare in that building. And also, your starting pitcher here, Woods Richardson, 3 2/3 innings pitched, 6 hits and 3 earned runs. That's not good enough. But yet, you still won that baseball game because you chased Zach Littell out of there early with 4 innings pitched for him and 4 earned runs. Twins will be in the playoffs here. Twins coming down the stretch looking to set things up. Just stack wins up. That's all you can do. And by the way, on the Kansas City Royals, losers of 6 straight games, but still comfortably in that final wild card spot. So at least it's not full panic mode just yet there in Kansas City.
Very comfortable. 4.5 game lead for that third and final AL wild card position. A few more thoughts around baseball. We'll talk the end of a PGA Tour season and the final Grand Slam in tennis as well next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line, recapping the long holiday weekend that was Labor Day weekend. The unofficial end to summer, which means now in September, we focus on October in MLB. So the Twins a victory yesterday. Trevor Larnach, a 3-run home run. Brooks Lee, a solo shot. They take the victory in the Trop. Again, DRS, when we look at the American League Central odds, at the end of last week's set between the Royals and the Guardians, KC was back by only one game, now trailing by 4.5 in the American League Central, but still that good cushion in the American League wild card race. We go quickly now to the fourth and final game in the desert this weekend between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. LA takes 3 of 4 with the 11-6 victory yesterday. Mookie Betts, 3 RBIs. Freddie Freeman, 2 homers, 5 RBIs. Shohei Ohtani, 3 stolen bases, becoming just the third player ever in MLB history with 40 long balls and 45 stolen bags in a single season. A big victory for the Dodgers. They maintain a 5-game lead over the Padres, 6 in front of the Diamondbacks in the National League West.
Yeah, they clubbed them yesterday, didn't they? 11-6. You take a look at the hits in that game, 17 overall. Now, granted, if you are Arizona and you sit coming into this game, Ben, and by the way, we're going to get 12 hits and pound out 6 runs. That's supposed to be a victory, and you didn't come close. Why? Because that Dodgers firepower is back. When you take a look at the top of that lineup, there are no outs. You can't pitch around anybody. And if they do get on base, Ohtani and Betts can steal bases, lining up for Freddie Freeman and Teoscar Hernandez, Will Smith, and the rest of that lineup. Flaherty comes in, 5 innings pitch, 5 hits, 1 earned run. That's exactly why you brought him over, to win those games against your like competition like the Diamondbacks are and heading into the playoffs. There's nothing more to be said about the Dodgers. They're in playoff mode right now. You just hope that they're healthy and still playing well over the next 3 weeks as they get to the playoffs themselves. But I don't think you're going to get too many arguments right now. Heading into the playoffs, this might be the best team. Now, once you get to the playoffs, usually it's more about who your one and two pitchers are and how they line up in the playoffs. But a regular season team, the Dodgers on a night-to-night basis, I mean, they can just pound you out easily. And they did that yesterday against the D-backs.
DRS, you know what's so fascinating? We have often coined, and rightfully so, the Padres and the D-backs are the hottest teams in MLB since the All-Star break. Arizona great in August. They ended the month 18-9. They won their first game in September on Sunday night against the Dodgers. The Padres were 18-10. They've won their first two games now in September. The Dodgers were still better than both San Diego and Arizona in August. The Dodgers claimed a 19-8 mark in that month. All right, now elsewhere around sports. Scottie Scheffler finally prevails at the Tour Championship at East Lake, winning the FedEx Cup. He had the lead in terms of the staggered start, and he made good on it, unlike the previous 2 years in Atlanta. Scottie Scheffler caps off a sensational year in golf with a FedEx Cup as well.
I'm trying to be the common man right here, Ben, on this, right? Scottie Scheffler had one of the better golf seasons you are ever going to see. But the question as I leave it is to see, did anybody care or does anybody care about the FedEx playoffs here? And also, is this your best money spent here for the PGA Tour? Like, you handed Scottie Scheffler $25 million. Does anybody tune in turn in the golf to say, you know what, I want to watch this because I want to see how much money the top guy can get? And also, at the timing of this, when football season starts, adjust your season. Make it better. Isn't there a reason why you push back the majors from ending in August to get them done sooner? Like, you don't need maybe 3 weeks of this in two. Get this done before football season begins. I promise you, more people will watch. It's a great feat. Scottie Scheffler was the FedEx champion, but nobody cares. We only care about the majors that these guys win. And just paying them a ton of money is not going to get you to tune in to see who's going to win the $25 million with a guy that's banked, what, $70 million, I believe, this golf season alone. You got to get it changed up, PJ, because if you want people to watch and care about this, you can't just – I mean, why not put it on week number one of the NFL season if you're going to do the game? Just go ahead and football in its entirety here. I just don't like the way it's going here. What a waste of money and time on the PGA Tour.
Maybe we'll just see all signature events and take out some events earlier in the PGA Tour season to focus on the FedEx Cup. This year would have been a little difficult with the golf in the Olympic Games, but we shall see. Scottie Scheffler, another crowning achievement. We've had a lot of upsets at the U.S. Open up in Queens, but Jannik Sinner, the number one seed in the men's draw, advances. He is the favorite now as we enter quarterfinal action at +115. Taylor Fritz trying to bring it home for the American men. He's at 13-1, and Francis Tiafoe still in the draw as well. Number one seed in the women's draw, Iga Świątek is there. Arina Sabalenka remains the favorite at +145. Donnie, any closing thoughts?
No.
Cool. All right, hour number two up next, live right here on the Early Line.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.